Welcome to the First Zebra Talk, a podcast by BS Competition that we record live on Twitch every Wednesday evening. My name is Tyler, one of the hosts alongside Alex, and today we talk to Freaky from our Rocket League team about the Major and the upcoming bootcamp. We did have a couple of technical difficulties at the top of the show, but as soon as we actually got going, I was able to resolve those live. And with that, let's jump straight into the episode. I hope you guys enjoy. Hello and welcome to the first edition of the Zebra Talk. And it's going to be an interesting one because, of course, this is a new format. Probably most of you haven't even seen me ever before, but I've recently joined the team to look after Twitch content and to help out a little bit here and there. And one of the first things I wanted to do was start a little podcast. I'm not going to be here by myself. I do, of course, have a fellow colleague that... We've done plenty of shows all around, especially for German TV, but finally, our first show that we do together in English.
Yeah, it's the first show in English, and I'm super excited to get it started, and I'm also super excited to get the Zebra Talk going. This is going to be a weekly format. We're going to have weekly shows with, just members of the herd joining us to talk about all the stuff that we want to know. And yeah, I think it's time to introduce the guest, Tyler.
Yeah, and our guest is nobody less than Freaky, and you guys can see him on your screens now. Welcome to the show, and I'll just leave it to you to introduce yourself.
Yeah, my name is Freaky, and I'm a professional Rocket League player for BS Plus Competition, and I'm happy to be one of the guests for you guys today.
Yeah, sounds great. It's going to be an interesting show. We do have a couple of topics planned, but we're going to keep it a little bit more casual and see how everything's going to go. But the first kind of thing that we wanted to get into is, of course, you haven't really been with BS Competition for too long. It's, of course, been a couple of months now, but, of course, before that, you weren't even a whole team for all too long before that, right?
Yeah. Iconic is relatively young, I would say. He basically just turned 15 before, I think, the fall split. I don't know. Like, he already played in our CSX. But at the start of the season, Smiller and I also were in different teams. I was playing for Fadeaway, and Smiller was playing for Singularity. After... winter split, then Fadeaway disbanded due to like us three on the field not working or clicking too well, and Smiller has already started playing with the Chronic here and there in ranked as well. They also played some tournaments. I don't know if they actually tried to qualify for LCS because Smiller was still on like a sub position for Singularity. But I knew they were searching for a new third, so I asked Smiller if he would be interested in trying out, because I've already had some success with him in various German tournaments. So we tried out, and it actually felt really good. We started teaming, and for the whole spring split, we did perform relatively well, I would say. And then after, I think, the second regional... BS Plus Competition contacted us saying they wanted to build a brand in Rocket League, and they wanted us to help them and also want to support us in the game itself. And now we are playing for them. We are happy to have found a home, and I hope we can do just as good or even better in the upcoming seasons.
So yeah, One quick thing, we're having a couple of difficulties with the sound. I did do a test recording and everything sounded fine. I hope that it's better now, and I'm also working on the desync between the cameras and the video. I think my video is now also desync because I had to delay all of the sound. But we're working on that. Don't worry, guys. At least the sound is now good for our guests.
Yeah, let's hope the sound is fine. Tyler will be working in the background on the syncing problems, but most importantly, of course, is that we can hear each other and that you guys out there can hear us. So, Freaky, as you said, you joined Smilla, and you guys did some test games together, and it worked out perfectly. And I think, yeah, I mean, there were ups and downs in the last split, but overall, it was a really successful split. And yeah, I think BS Competition can be really happy with you guys. So we need to talk about something that wasn't too great from like your perspective. You weren't too happy with the result. That's the last match, which made it a lot harder to get through. Yeah, maybe you can just, I think everyone knows what happened or what didn't happen, but maybe you can, yeah, just tell us about the major and how you experienced the entire event.
Yeah, so obviously, as you already said, we were in a group of death, and I feel like, especially against BDS and Vitality, we kind of like knew things would have to go very much our way in order to win those series. But against KSO, we definitely did not play our best. It was the first game of the day, and we still had some issues trying to play style we wanted to play on that day, which then caused us to lose. But I feel like, especially with KSO, it's like a back and forth between them and us. We have beat them countless times in LCS matchups beforehand, and now it was their time to beat us up. Against German Amigos, we beat them comfortably 3-1, but they overall had the better game differential, I think, where they like while we lost Vitality in case of 3-0, they only lost 3-1 and therefore had two more wins on their board. And since we both ended 1-1 in the group stage, they got the higher position and therefore qualified for the top 8, while we went out being the last in the group. Overall, I didn't feel like we played bad, but obviously in that group, like, you have to have the best day of your life in order to even get remotely close to beat those top teams, like BDS number one in the region. Vitality, I think, is the second at the moment. KSO has also qualified for the World Championship, so yeah, we tried our best. It wasn't enough on that day, but we will definitely try to use the off season to grind even harder and come back better than before, and maybe like dethrone those teams and get top six.
Yeah, I mean, that's definitely an ambitious goal, but as you said, it was the group of death, and at the same time, qualifying for the major is also like a big thing. You know, there were many big names in Europe that didn't make the major. So yeah, I think you shouldn't be too sad about the result in the end. And yeah, I mean, it was a combination of bad luck maybe and the bad seeding for the group. So if you had been in Group B, I think it would have been an entirely different story, but there's nothing you can do. So yeah, that's that. Tyler, how are we looking on the sinking front?
I hope it's better. It's still not perfect, and I'm aware of that, but it's difficult to really get into it whilst we're still on air. I'm trying to tweak it back and forth, and the best part is that you guys are also helping in chat a little bit to say in which direction I have to go when it comes down to the sinking thing. But we're close. In general, though, yeah, I'm sorry, guys, but sometimes I test things, and then as soon as we go live, everything just turns to crap. But yeah, we're working on it.
Yeah, that's life, literally. Yeah, we're working on it. And at the same time, I can see that you guys are already asking questions in chat, which is super great. So if you have any questions for Freaky, you can just put them in chat. We will collect them, and then we'll have a little AMA segment later on where you can just, where we will forward your questions towards Freaky, and he will answer them, of course. So that's also coming up later. But for now, let's keep talking about the game of the moment. Let's keep talking about Rocket League. So yeah, the major for BS Competition was like the last big event for the split. What do you expect of the next season, Freaky? What do you think is coming? What do you think Psyonix will come up in terms of formats? And yeah, what are your expectations for the team?
Yeah, well, we don't know how the format is gonna be for the LCS yet, so my expectation for the whole season is, obviously, we want to make the top 10 We even if we can get into the top six, maybe qualify for the World Championships. But yeah, like as I want to play and perform our best, we were one of the newer teams in the split. So I feel like the off season and then the start of the next season will help us build more synergy together and maybe perform more consistently rather than having like those ups and downs. Yeah, it's definitely hard to like kind of predict what is going to happen in Rocket League, but we definitely want to get as far as possible. And I feel like a top 10 finish is definitely something that we can try to achieve.
Yeah, I totally agree. I think the last split showed that the potential is definitely there and that can only get better. And yeah, that's the perfect bridge for us to getting better. There is a boot camp coming up. I think we can announce it by now. BS competition will be going to the Elite Camp near Stuttgart. And yeah, you guys will have 10 days of boot camping together. So what are your expectations for the boot camp? What do you expect? And also, as far as I know, you guys haven't even met each other in real life. Of course, you and Smilla met, but Xpier and Akronic, our Portuguese players, and our German players, Godzmilla and Freaky, all of you have never been in the same room together, so that's going to be interesting, I think.
Yeah, it's definitely going to be a good time or in a good way to get to know each other more, especially with Xpier and Akronic, because as you said, we haven't really met them. I think they've never actually left Portugal. So it's definitely good for Smilla and me to know them or get to know them better. Same for them. And having the synergy in real life, or like building up the synergy in real life, will definitely help on the field as well to perform better and just like feel each other more without too much communication. Like we understand each other just by body language or something like that. So yeah, from the boot camp, obviously we're going to try to practice as much as we can. Probably play a lot of scrims with like top level teams in Europe. Other than that, I just hope to have fun, especially because like the more fun you have playing Rocket League, I think the better we perform. And yeah, I'm definitely looking forward to it, and hope it's going to be a good time.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure it's going to be a great time. I think it's super important for teams to also, like, as we said, be in the same room together and get that synergy going, especially nowadays that with this entire COVID situation, we didn't have any LANs. So also, like, this offline part was completely, yeah, obsolete last year. And I think it's going to come back slowly. But from what I heard, there aren't any Rocket League offline tournaments planned yet, and also like we have the championship coming up, there won't be a world championship, but I think it's pretty safe to say if there isn't another pandemic coming, we should have LANs back next year at least. So I'm really looking forward to having you guys play in front of an audience again. Or how much difference does it make to play with the live audience and play in the same room with your team together?
Especially for new coming players, it is definitely much different. Like when I remember back how my first LANs went, or how my first ever big LAN went when it was in LCS season 4, with like 2,000 or 3,000 people right in front of me. So it's definitely a completely different vibe, I would say. Like you know how people react. Like you don't You get to feel their emotion even though you're playing. Well, usually when you play from home, you don't really watch the stream when you play, but you can definitely still, when having your headphones on, you can still hear their reactions, how they react to like nice goals, how they get hyped at the moment something crazy is going to happen. So it definitely helps you focus more on the game and trying to play your best, but at the same time, obviously, due to you feeling the emotions and the reaction of the fans, it is incredibly hard to sometimes for new coming players to put the focus on just the game, and therefore get like they kind of drift away from the game and just want to perform. So I don't know, like for me especially, or like since I have played multiple lands, I don't feel it that as much anymore. But definitely for a chronic, and also since Smilla didn't play that many lands yet, there still might be an affecting part on that. And I feel like with more and more lands coming up again, we can work on that and fix that, so we can play as good on land as we do it from home.
Yeah, and I think that also boot camping is going to be a difference there, just because you are in a more unfamiliar environment and, of course, are going to be building up more as a team. And it is going to be something new to then get into the mix. But I think it's also then a way to then get you guys used to already not being in your own seat, not being at home, not being in front of your own monitor or PC. Of course, in a boot camp, ideally, you don't really notice it as much. But there is certainly going to be a difference. And I think one thing that still I would like to ask you, do you think that there's any team that is like near the top right now that you would expect that maybe would fall off a little bit once lands return?
I honestly expect BDS to not play as good on LAN as they do online. None of those players have LAN experience. I do get that they're obviously they're probably the best online team at the moment, but comparing that to like other games like CSGO, you usually have your online teams and then you have your LAN teams. And this is as well in Rocket League can be a deciding factor, as like NRG in like early stages of LCS, like LCS season 1 to 2 or like 4, NRG was the best team in North America when it came to online events, but the moment they played on LAN, they didn't finish as good. So even though I think BDS is still going to perform really, really good on LAN, if there's ever going to be a LAN, I expect them to not perform just as good as they do online.
Yeah, I think that's a valid expectation, because as you said, they don't have any LAN experience, and it can be very overwhelming if you're on LAN for the first time and you have the stage audience. All these factors you don't have at home can be really influential to your gameplay. So I totally agree that BDS might fall off on LAN, but we don't know. It could be that they even perform better. No one knows. But yeah, BDS are, of course, as you said, one of the best teams in the world right now, and definitely the team to beat in Europe. So yeah, let's talk about BDS for a sec, because you knew that you were going to face them in the major. Is there anything you prepared differently for BDS? Because I think for most teams in Europe right now, if you want to be the best team, you have to have a plan to beat BDS some way, right?
I don't think there's a plan to beat BDS. Usually, there's no real plan on how to beat anyone, actually. So it is more about like how good you perform individually on the day and how well aware you are of open space on the field. And honestly, against BDS, it is extremely hard to like not overcommit, because they are a really fast team in defense. They usually get to pressure in offense from time to time, but I'm less afraid of their offensive pressure than their actual counterattacks. Like when we have the pressure in offense against them, they are so extremely fast in getting to the ball and immediately like getting into a counterattack and scoring on the opponent. So there's, as I said, there's no real plan on how to beat BDS. It's just about like how good you are in blocking your own open space in your defense while you are in offense. And that is probably very confusing to most people, because when I'm in offense, why should I have to block my own defense, right? So, yeah, obviously, we did prepare for the match against BDS. We knew what to do, especially against each individual player, like what we do against Monkey Moon, what we do against Mark or against Extra. But obviously, Rocket League is probably one of the esports that has the least Or like it's not as plannable as other esports like CSGO. You definitely know who's going to throw what smoke, who's going to throw what flash, where you're going to position yourself. In Rocket League, you have a general idea of what you're supposed to do, but everything is very reactive. So even though you might have a slight plan to go into a match, you still have to react perfectly on that given moment. And that is extremely hard against BDS because it feels like BDS doesn't make mistakes.
Mm. Yeah, and honestly, watching them play, it doesn't only feel like that. I mean, everyone makes mistakes, of course, but I've seen some BDS games where it was really hard to find any. They really have this robotic gameplay at times. When they're on fire, it's really hard to stop them. But same goes for you guys. I mean, we've seen some great performances coming out of BDS competition in the last split, and I think it's for me, it's a bit of, or one of the big factors that makes this team composition so successful is this combination of having you and Smilla, like kind of veterans that have seen a lot and have experienced a lot in Rocket League, and then having this young star player, Akronic, coming in, but also having you guys backing him. And yeah, I think he can learn a lot from your experience, and also keeping him calm and collected is, I think, a big factor that you are a part of your job, I would say. I don't know if that's the case, but from what I can see from the outside, it certainly looked that way, that it's a good combination of having this mix of veterans and young talent. How is it in reality?
Yeah, I do think it's a really good idea, because usually as well, if you look at real sports, you usually have like those talents. With especially, let's say, football, you have those talents on their positions that still need like a backbone or some veteran of the sport that is helping them to evolve and kind of like keeping them on the ground. Because I don't know if I can actually like name players, but you see how like everyone kind of like praises someone as the new Messi, and then 2 years from then he's gone. Because yeah, he doesn't have that person that keeps them down on the ground, and they get told, or like that, there are people overly telling them, hey, you're going to be next Messi, hey, you are the next superstar, gets to their head, and then they start practicing less, they start just focusing on what they can already do. So yeah, it is really important to have like a mix between fresh new blood talent, or like raw talent, together with the willingness to work and the experience of maybe older players, that creates some kind of like good synergy between those players, so they can work or function well as a team. And this is definitely, I feel this is what we are in BS Plus competition. I have already a lot of experience. Smilla also has been playing Rocket League forever, basically. He has made different, achieved different things in this game. And then Akronic, kind of like the newcomer now, obviously has a lot of talent, but still needs the experience and people to tell him what he can and should not do. And yeah, if he listens to Smilla and me, he will definitely improve a lot as a player as well as a person in the community. And I'm looking forward to helping him, and I'm also looking forward to just play with him, because he also makes me a better player.
Yeah, I think especially with him being so young still, also there is certainly a way that you guys can mold him into your own thing. Is it also sometimes that, as you guys are the older players and certainly bring more experience to the game, but also in life, have there been moments outside of the game then that you could all also just bring your own personal experience into it and maybe help him out a little bit?
I bet there's like there would be, but obviously like you kind of have to make people, especially in like personal lives, you kind of have to make people make their mistakes in order to understand. Yeah. If you just tell everyone how to live life, they don't live their own life. They live just a life that is projected by someone, right? So even though I could probably tell him few things in life that he should focus more on than what he's focusing at the moment, it is his life, and I'm not telling him how to live, right? So yeah. Definitely, Rocket League-wise, since the experience here, or like I'm a pro player since 2017, and like being in professional esports in Rocket League since 4 years is basically making me, I don't know, like a dinosaur in this game. So there is definitely something that he can like, or where I can project on him that he makes or like improves with it. But when it comes to life, I'm just 9 years older than him. That's nothing, right? So he makes his own mistakes in personal life, and then when he makes a mistake in game, I'm here to tell him, hey, don't do that.
Yeah, I think it's a valid point to let people make their mistakes and learn from them, because yeah, there's no better teacher than failure, you know. So I think it's a great mindset that you have going, and I think that, yeah, I mean, he's still super young and he will go far if he keeps doing what he's doing. So yeah, we're looking forward to the future and to the next split. But at the moment, the entire Rocket League community is, yeah, not only looking towards the championships, but there's also the Intel World Open going on. And yeah, it's like part of the Olympics, Summer Olympics, and they have a Rocket League and a Street Fighter tourney with a shared prize pool of 500k, which is quite a lot for Rocket League, I would say. It's 250k for Rocket League. And yeah, you guys have formed teams because it's only national teams that can participate. So you and Smilla joined up with Tigre. How is that going?
Been going really well. We have already played countless German tournaments together. We did win the AMD Masters in winter 2020 in Munich, actually. So we already have the experience to play as a team together, but obviously from then to now, it's been 1.5 years, and we kind of lost our synergy a little bit, which we're trying to like build again now, scrimming every day and playing other Interworld open teams, like, for example, like Portugal or England. So yeah, we did our qualifier yesterday, one of two open qualifiers. We did qualify as the second best German team, but obviously since there's only going to be one best German team driving to the regional finals, basically, I think it's like, I don't know, 16 teams from Europe that yep. play against each other in Poland.
Eight,
for a
I think
eighth. Yeah, it's the top eight yeah. make it, I think.
I'm pretty sure that like the top eight are then going to be in that regional final, and I'm pretty sure that's going to be online, at least the info that is currently out.
Oh, okay. Well, I only know the info from back when they announced yeah. it for 2020, but then it was like delayed due to the pandemic. So
yeah.
We're obviously trying to get to still be the best German team, but with Tox, Catalysm, and Rizex as our opponents, obviously this is going to be extremely hard because they're not just very well players individually, but Catalysm and Rizex, obviously also one of our LCS opponents in German Amigos, and now they have a really good third with Tox, who's also from SK Gaming. Meaning those two full LCS teams match up extremely hard to play against them, and we definitely still need a lot of practice in order to beat them.
Do you think that Magix also being with them, of course, also being the coach for German Amigos, basically being that three-man core alongside Catalysm, alongside Tox, it was, right?
Yeah.
Do you think that that also makes a difference when basically the coach already like works closely with two of those players?
Yeah, it can definitely be a deciding factor because he knows how Rizex and Catalysm play, so he just needs to focus more on Tox. While we have a completely new coach with Millennium who doesn't coach either of us. So it could be a slight advantage at the moment. But I'd rather have them an advantage now than in 1 month when it's actually going to be the deciding matches.
Yeah, I think it's going to be really interesting to see who will make it to this kind of Olympic event that's going on. So you mentioned that you were scrimming against the Portuguese team. So that means you were playing against Xperia and the Chronic, right?
Yes.
So how is it to play against your teammates?
It's weird, especially because I have not really played against Akronic ever since we started teaming up. So now I definitely know what people have to face when they're playing in RCS and how annoying he can be, right? So yeah, but I like Expert, usually our coach, still one of, or like a really good player in Rocket League. And then their third with Ryze, also a really mechanically gifted player. It's always nice scrims against them. And I do wish them good luck for their qualifier tomorrow, I think it is, for Portugal. Yeah, I'm looking forward to maybe face them in Poland. Or if it's online, just online.
Yeah, I think it's going to be interesting to see how it all develops when leagues then actually return, and also in what range that's going to be. I think a lot of people are still saying it's probably not going to happen this year, as I think it's going to be difficult to master the pandemic this year. And of course, sure, there is a lot more money behind Rocket League now than there was like 2-3 years ago. But I think it's still a difference when compared to, of course, League of Legends, where you can literally fly teams out for 3 or 4 weeks to spend a whole month in Iceland. We'll have to see how that develops. Who knows, maybe a couple of years from now that can certainly be that far, but I hope that we're at least going to be out of the pandemic by that time actually comes around, and hopefully not straight into the next one. But to kind of go full circle and to go back to, of course, what's coming up next, sure, you guys did just do that open qualifier, do have the close qualifier coming up as well. I think that's during the time that you guys are here at the boot camp as well, right?
I think so, yeah. I believe, I'm not going to leak any dates, but yeah, I believe that that it is going to be around a time where we are already in the boot camp. So I hope it can help Smilla and me to play better together. And then we just need to kind of like involve Tigre into that whole synergy. Because I tend to play a little bit better on LAN nowadays, so I do hope that the bootcamp kind of gives me like a little bit of a push forward.
I mean, definitely like make it feel more like a LAN. Like we can put like speakers in there to like put crowd behind you. We can put lights up and like blind you the whole time. We can make that happen.
Okay.
It's like a random noises going on, yeah, all the time. But yeah, I think one interesting fact is that if you guys are playing against your own teammates, it can also help the synergy within the team. Because if you have played against your teammate, in a way, maybe you understand better what he's actually doing. Because if you're playing together, it's always like this synergistic play style where you're talking and you're trying to work together. But playing against them and seeing what they are actually doing when you're like not talking to them can also help understanding, yeah, what they are actually doing when they are in front of the goal, especially maybe for you, who is oftentimes more in a defensive position from what I've seen.
Definitely. Like, it's really good to understand what Akronic is capable of being on the other side. So not just watching him from behind, but actually facing him, seeing what he's doing when he flies towards you with the ball. So as you said, it really helps understanding how he plays and where I have to position myself. And yeah, about like the part where I'm like more defensive, I think overall our team plays really basic rotation. We don't, like, usually a few years ago, it was like you had your definite first man, your definite third man, and then somebody in the middle. Today, it is less of that. You still have it, whereas like one usually is a little bit better in defense, one has better things to do in offense, and then we have someone in the middle who kind of like plays around them too and cuts whenever he can. But nowadays, I just feel like my positioning really helps me being in the right position at the right time, and that makes me look like I'm better in defense, but technically I'm just fulfilling my role in the rotation. And if the shot comes in at the moment when I am in the right position, then obviously I get the save and not my teammates.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, I've seen some crazy games coming out of you where you had like so many saves that it almost felt like you were the set defensive player. But it, if it's out of the rotation, then even better. What else do we have to talk about? I think with the boot camp coming up, that's going to be a big thing for BS competition, and of course the Intel Open happening with the players being split up into the Portuguese and the German team. I mean, it would be a dream come true if you faced each other at the Olympics then, but it's a long way from here. But other than that, what do you think is coming up for BS competition or for your team over the next month and over the next split?
I mean, for us, obviously, it's a lot of practice, a lot of preparation for the next season. And then we are happy to work with BS Plus Competition on various different things when it comes to, I don't know, like content or even just fun stuff like playing games together. Overall, I'm just happy to be working with BS Plus Competition and maybe build like a really good brand in Rocket League itself. So other than that, obviously my job is to play Rocket League professionally. I'm trying my best every day, need to improve every day, and I don't really have any predictions really or anything. It's just I'm doing my best every single day, and I hope it is going to be enough for still a long time.
Yeah, I think we of course also are going to have a bunch of content coming up when the bootcamp actually comes around. We'll be hopefully producing a bunch of stuff that will then be released throughout the weeks following, and definitely get a couple of new pictures going for all of you guys as well, to fill up all the social media channels. In general also, hopefully also the plan is to at least one of the talks that we do during the time that you guys are in bootcamp to actually just sit everybody down from the team. We might have to rotate in and out, but that should certainly be coming up as well, to have everybody in front of the mic, and then maybe also do that as more of a Q&A session for you guys, the fans also at home, to then get into the mix, get into the conversation. And maybe now is also a time to scroll through the chat. I know that you guys already went over a couple of them earlier. Whilst I was trying to fix sound. Yes, I know it's not perfect. I've tried to do my best, but we do have to balance between three different people, and it hasn't exactly been as easy. But have we talked about the message from Owl Emoji? Shlom, did we mention that yet?
No, we did not. So yeah, let's get this question in. Owl Emoji asked, or this one is for you, Freaky, of course. Is having the pressure of trying to get young stars experience while trying to win for the older leaders a tough thing to balance?
It is, because while you try to like get, for example, with like a Chronic, while you try to get him the experience he needs for the future of his career, at the same time, you obviously also want him to play his best. And experience usually is... or like you gain experience the more you play, and with less experience in the scene itself, in the community, and like high tier tournaments, your overall performance usually tends to be a little bit inconsistent. So while I can't really control how a Chronic is playing or how any youngster is playing, that's on him. My job is to, at the same time, play my best. So in a tournament, we try to not focus too much on what a Chronic can do better experience-wise. It's more about how we play better as a team. And then that's what practice, like scrims and training sessions, are for, where we can talk about those things that a Chronic can implement in his personality and his game style or play style that makes him a better player overall.
Yeah, I definitely agree that it's really tough to balance all these different aspects out, because you can't only focus on pushing the youngster if you at the same time want to win your game. Then we have a few other questions up for you guys in chat. If you have any further questions for Freaky while we ask the next two, just drop them in chat and we'll forward them right here. So. A question from Aidnik413. Why did you come up with the name of Godsmiller's team?
I have no idea, to be honest. When I joined them, we just always made fun about this is Gods Miller's team. Like, we technically had no name because I think before they picked me, they had a different... I don't remember their name before I joined, but when we decided to team up, I always made the joke about how this team is Smilla's team, and it stuck. So then we decided to just sign up on RCS as Godsmiller's team, because Godsmiller is really liked in the community, so maybe we thought, hey, we could gain some followers with that.
Well, it certainly worked out, I think, and now, of course, you landed a different organization that was new to Rocket League as well. I think one question that is always interesting there, how was it when you got approached? Of course, probably haven't heard the name before, right?
No, obviously, like, BS Plus Competition was a relatively new organization for us. We did get approached by a few organizations, some smaller, some bigger, but overall we just liked how family-like BS Plus Competition talked to us and how they treated and supported us. And yeah, after we had like a call with them, we went together as a team, talked about what we expect from an organization, what we can give them, and the opposite. So we really liked the approach from BS Plus Competition, and I'm happy that we have found each other, as I said before, and I do hope that we can help them get bigger as a brand, and therefore eventually establish into other games as well, so they can become one of the biggest German esports organizations.
Big goals.
Okay, I have one more question from chat, and that is from It's Denisio. Will we ever see Freaky in a race?
Short answer, yes.
Referring to the sim racing part.
I mean, if you want to see me on the last place, sure. I will not be very good at sim racing, because I usually don't play racing games. But yeah, if BS Plus Competition would like me to play against some other sim racers and they don't totally destroy me, then I'd definitely be up to play a game.
Yeah, I think we can already tell you guys that we definitely have some content in planning, where we will bring the Rocket League and sim racing world together for sure. Yeah, one more question. And I think we almost already talked about it. It's from Impulse Gaming Portugal. How do you feel about the possibility of facing your coach Xpier? And I think that's referring to the Inter World Open.
There's some kind of joke around the community where it's like, if you face someone who's coaching you, you can't lose, because then your coach is better than you, right? This is technically not true, because obviously due to Rocket League and the way playstyles work, it could be that as long as Expert does his job, he can beat us, even though individually he might be not better than Smilla or me. So I already said, like, Expert is still a great Rocket League player. He knows how to play the game. I feel like it's just small things that could maybe differentiate him from Smilla and me, and he's more focusing on making us better players than himself. So even though there might be a chance facing him, I think we're obviously going to beat them, because from the way we play as a team, I think Germany is better than Portugal. But it is all daily based, individual performance based. And if he beats me, then happens.
Yeah, and I think, as you said, he's still a great Rocket League player, which is also great for BS Competition, because then you have a stand-in that could potentially also perform really well in your coach. Yeah,
it's also because, like, the coach itself probably knows the best how the team plays. He kind of, like, sees everyone. He knows how we as a team perform, or like what we try to do. So having him as the coach and as a substitute player could be a deciding factor when we actually have to use a sub, because there's other CSGO teams as well that usually have like their sub player. They might be part of scrims. They might look at like how the main lineup plays, but they never actually get implemented into it. And then when the coach plays, it usually works way better.
Yeah, I think there as well. I have to be honest, I haven't been following Rocket League nearly as much as I wanted to, just because I've been busy on different projects as well. How is it generally? Like, are there really teams that do have a permanent fourth as a stand-in, as a sub? Is that something that has been explored, or is it not really developed that far?
I think there has been some teams who tried to implement a four-man lineup, but usually, since every player plays different, usually you have individual play styles. It is extremely hard to make four players work together compared to three players. Because as I said, it's not the same as in CSGO, where you have one player being a really good entry fragger and the other one is a really good support player. In Rocket League, everybody is, or like the performance of everybody is reaction based, and you need to do the right thing at the right time. So it is harder for people to work with multiple possible lineups rather than just one lineup that is definitely going to play together all the time. Usually subs are really good players that can like fill a role to an extent, but not at the same level as like the main lineup player. And some teams even don't care about their sub at all, like NRG, for example. Musty, as good Musty is, he would never be able to play in a pro LCS lobby. So I feel like in Rocket League especially, we focus more on the main lineup and the substitute players really only there in order to fill a hole in case of an emergency.
Yeah, and as you said, it takes a long time to get the team together and get those synergies going, and having all these tiny millisecond decisions already in your head when you know, okay, if I pass here, he's gonna be there and all that. And that's what's so mind-boggling for me when you see some of the Rocket League augurs switching out players, like, I don't know, on an almost monthly basis, because you have to give a team time to grow together and really become a unit. And I think that's one of the issues with having a substitute. You can't just swap out one player and expect it to work.
Exactly. Like, I think that's based on the very young age of Rocket League, I feel like, where people want to achieve things, and if it doesn't work, then they immediately try to swap. Even you could work together as a team so much better if you just fix the mistakes and work on things rather than just blaming someone or like completely putting the blame on someone and then therefore replacing him. Sure, there might be some things that actually cannot be fixed at all, but I also don't understand the tendencies of the Rocket League community, especially in the pro scene, where bubble teams seem to switch up players every single tournament, and therefore they never perform. So there's enough examples of how pro teams, when they stuck together for a longer time, get better and better over time, and another team that just switches it usually loses the performance. So it's, I don't know, some people will never understand that. I think the same, it's like in every sports, you build up something and then you stay with it, and making slight adjustments is always better than making one big adjustment.
Yeah, pretty much.
Yeah, I think we've also seen this like in Counter-Strike with FaZe Clan, for example. Yeah. You can't just buy the best players in the world and expect them to perform, because you need a team. You can't just put the most expensive players together and shake it and be like, okay, we have the best team in the world. That's not how it works.
Well, I mean, it's like,
it makes for some pretty great PR, though.
Yeah, I mean, that's about obviously. It. If you have only star players, then obviously you might have the most valuable team, but not the most successful team.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
All right. Do we have any more topics left, Tyler, or should we go to the first segment?
I think we can move on to the first, to be honest. So this is actually going to be something that I've actually seen on a bunch of other shows as well. And I was like, well, to be honest, this is great. Just because it's going to be something that, of course, we can ask everybody that comes on. And Freaky today is going to be our first of the firsts. And with that, of course, let's get you with that first question. What was your first console, or did you start on a PC?
My first console was some kind of Nintendo. I don't know if it was an N64. It was like when I was really young, I played with I will just call it an N64 of my dad. And I usually always played FIFA, or like the old school versions of FIFA. And at the going like next, like my first real own console was the Nintendo GameCube, and there as well I just played FIFA basically all day.
Okay, so you pretty much already asked or answered the second question that we have, which would have been first game as well.
Oh yeah, it was definitely FIFA. Like I've been a big football fan ever since. I played football as a child, had some really bad injuries. That's why. I couldn't really play anymore. So, FIFA has basically been my whole life. And I am actually very sad that FIFA got so bad. Because it was every single time I buy this game, I go into the menu, I go into a game expecting it to be exactly like FIFA 10, FIFA 11. And every single year I'm disappointed.
Yeah, and it's pretty much become the same time and time again as well, which... is unfortunate, because that's just the way that EA took it.
So right. Exactly. We have another first coming up, of course. What was the first esports event you ever participated in?
On LAN or online?
In general. Just
in general.
If your first event ever was a LAN, then that'd be great, but...
No, obviously not. No, like my first esports event... was probably a big event wise, I would say, was a DESL Rocket League tournaments back in the days. At the start, they were partnered with Psyonix about to gain, like, I think it was 150 euros every week, and then there was like a monthly final at the start of the month where like the top 8 teams of those tournaments would play against each other, and there you could also win like those fancy titles that you could put under your name in the game. So there was like ESL Monthly Elite and ESL Monthly Champion. So those tournaments were like my first events. When it comes to like a big event, then it was a DreamHack Sweden in 2017. But yeah, like Rocket League basically was my jump into the esports scene.
Nice. And yeah, to continue with that, what was the first title you ever won?
In-game title or like actual winning of a tournament?
We'll cover both. Maybe.
Let's go with both. Yeah.
Yeah, so as like the in-game title obviously was the ESL Monthly Elite, which then like a month or two later was followed by like the ESL Monthly Champion. But overall, obviously, Rocket League had way more weekly tournaments at the start, because like nowadays, a big tournament has like $500,000 in prize pool. Back then, LCS had like $75,000. So it was nothing compared to how big it is nowadays. So smaller tournaments like ESL and Gfinity were still attended really much by like pro teams. Which was a good way to practice as well. I played ESL basically every week. I played the Gfinity tournaments and I won a few here and there. But one of the really big tournaments I won for the first time was the Gfinity Elite Series in London in Season 3, where I won with Vitality, actually. So that was like the first real big title that I won.
All right. I mean, this pretty much already brings us towards the end of our show today. We did have a couple of difficulties here and there to get the show started. And as, of course, this is the first edition, we'll have a couple of more still to come. As Shalom said at the top of the show, it is, of course, going to be the show here, always Wednesdays. And we'll try to stick around the same time as well, 19:30 towards 20, so 8 p.m., we'll always keep you guys posted on our social media channels with all of the updates. When is it going to happen? Who's going to be the next guest? And of course, we won't only be covering the Rocket League team. We'll also be talking to a couple of sim racing drivers here and there. And then also maybe be doing a little bit of special coverage when a couple of tournaments come around, when special races are around, and things along those lines.
Yeah, there will be a lot of content coming up, so make sure to follow BS Competition on all social media channels. We will keep you up to date over there. Also, of course, big thank you to Freaky. Make sure to follow him on Twitter and Instagram and Twitch and wherever he may be. And I think we can give the last word to Freaky. You can plug whatever you want. I think you're doing some coaching as well. So go ahead and tell our listeners and viewers what you want to say to them. Yeah.
First of all, thank you really much for inviting me to your show today. Was a lot of fun. I hope I could answer some questions from like viewers there, or like what they didn't know about Rocket League yet. As you said, I do offer coaching on Gamers Ready. So if you want to get better in Rocket League and you feel like you hit your skill ceiling, you need help in different aspects of the game, it doesn't matter if it's rotation or if it's positioning or even your mechanics that still need improvement, I'm there to help you, and I would look forward to work with you. So if you're interested, I'm available on Gamers Ready. If you have any question, you can also add me on Discord. Yeah, apart from that, BS Plus, please verify me on Twitter.
We'll be working on that. Yeah, there's a new verification process and everyone wants to get verified, and we hope we can get it done as soon as possible. Yeah, I think that's it from us. Thank you guys for following, for watching, for asking your questions in chat. And yeah, Tyler, I think we'll see each other next week, right?
Yeah, we'll be back next week. And with that, I hope that you guys are going to stay safe, stay healthy. And we'll see you guys then as soon as we're back. And yeah, a bunch more Twitch content coming. Check out everybody as well on their social media platforms. And see you then.
Thank you for tuning in to the BS Plus Competition Zebra Talk. Make sure to follow us on our social channels to get all the latest news about upcoming episodes. Or join us live on Twitch to interact.